Paraya Krishna Krishnaya Hare Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Kastajadesha Dharani. We read this morning about Krishna being the seed-giving father for all the living entities in the total cosmic manifestation. And we saw and we heard that material nature consists of three modes by which the living being becomes conditioned. That's our circuit breaker going on again because there's too much load on this bad line. Okay.
What is recording today?
There's more. Our official recorder is not here.
She went to the other night, and I see how the portrait was on there.
Oh. Mm-hmm. But the someone was recording it. Anyway, we have the recording. You're the recording with that?
Yeah.
What happened to the other guy? The other machine?
I believe it was
Karama Sinha's
machine, and
he went to Bombay. Okay. Tatra Satvam Nirmalatvat Prakashaya Prakashakamanamayam Sukha Sangena Badnati Gana Sangena Shanaka. This is the overview of the mode of goodness. Sattvam Nirmala Tvat. Tva means
being unclothed. Having possessing divine essence. Possessing the quality of.
Thank you very much. Nirmala Tvat. Prakashakamanamya. So the mode of goodness is Nirmal. Nirmal means the purest in the material world. There's a Nirmal soap powder, right?
Yeah. He's from Gujarat, I know.
You know the Nirmal guy?
Yeah, I know. That's his last name.
That's his name, Nirmal.
Yeah.
So Nirmal means no dirt. So pure. Prakashakam. And illuminating, and anamayam, free from sinful reactions, and sukha sangena, badnati. It conditions one by the association of happiness, and jnana sangena, by association with knowledge. This is the nature of the mode of goodness.
There's an addition. It didn't used to say knowledge.
It used to say he develops knowledge but becomes conditioned by happiness.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what the Sanskrit says. The effect of developing the mode of goodness is that one becomes wiser than those otherwise conditioned. A man in the mode of goodness is not so much affected by material miseries, and he has a sense of advancement in knowledge. The difficulty here is that when a living entity is situated in the mode of goodness, he becomes conditioned to feel that he's advanced in knowledge and better than others. A sense of each is proud of his knowledge, and because they generally improve the living conditions, they feel kind of material happiness. The sense of advanced happiness in conditioned life makes them bound by the mode of goodness. As such, they're attracted toward working in the mode of goodness, and as long as they have an attraction for working that way, they have to take some type of body in the modes of nature. Thus, there's no likelihood of liberation or being transferred to the spiritual world. Repeatedly, one may become a philosopher, a scientist, a poet, and repeatedly become entangled in the same disadvantages of birth and death. But through the illusion of material energy, one thinks that that sort of life is pleasant. So this is the problem. Mode of goodness is good. more pure, more thoughtful, better knowledge, pure kind of happiness, and one becomes stuck with that. One thinks, yes, at least I have knowledge. Come on. Hare Krishna. Come on. It's so much better to have knowledge than to be a dummy. It's so nice to have the happiness of living as a vegetarian, living a simple lifestyle, having a regulated life. It's so much happier living in clean, pure surroundings in a simple, natural way of life. So he becomes conditioned, thinking, yes, this is good. This is natural, peaceful, healthy life. This is going on.
Can you compare this to the yoga ladder and to the varnashram? If you cultivate mode of goodness, then you kind of be stuck, can you get kind of...
Well, in the mode of goodness, you become a Brahmin. Prabhupada mentions that the representative type is the Brahmin, who's supposed to be situated in the mode of goodness. So, yes, and the Shudras are in the mode of ignorance. The Vaishyas are in passion and ignorance, and the Kshatriyas are in passion. So, yeah, there's a Varnashram connection there. Mm-hmm. Something else?
Mm-hmm. Does this knowledge go as far as to know that we are not the body?
Yeah. Brahma janati iti brahma.
Oh. It's rarely achieved.
Yeah, everybody used to know that.
I used to know. Yeah.
This is not such a big deal to know that you're not this body. Is like ABC. That's not such hot stuff.
What's that slogan?
Brahma janati iti brahma. Brahma janati, one who knows Brahma. Is a Brahmin.
Maharaj, you said that it frees one from all sinful reactions. You said that it frees one from all sinful reactions.
Frees one, it said the purport?
In translation.
Frees one from all sinful reactions. That's not anamayam. Well, if you're in it, you're not committing the same sinful activities as the person in the mode of passion and ignorance. But it's not that if you're in the mode of goodness, you become free from every kind of sinful reaction. But largely, just like the basic principles of goodness, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling. So you become free from most sinful activities.
Most,
not all.
Just one this thing.
Yeah, little... Anything else?
Is pride it is product of the other modes? This pride that one can
pride, yes. What about pride?
It's not developed from the mode of goodness.
No, from the mode of passion. Pride is essential, is especially the feature of passion. But in the material world, there's no such thing as pure goodness. The goodness is tinged with a little passion or a little ignorance, a little something. You don't find pure goodness in the material world, only in the spiritual world. See, there may be a little subtle sense of pride, but it's so much nicer to be healthy and natural and time and time. It's just these people who, in a very subtle sort of way. Maybe mixed with compassion for these poor people who are such jerks. Something else?
In the spiritual world, it's transcendental goodness.
Pure goodness is only found in transcendence.
Right.
It's called Vishuddha Sattva, perfectly pure goodness.
A pure devotee is also on the platform of Jesus.
it means that we can find pure goodness in the material world or in the form of pure devotion.
Mm. Yeah, pure devotional service is transcendental. Okay? Ready for some passion?
Mm-hmm. What does it mean, illuminating?
Illuminating.
This knowledge or?
Yeah. Prakash. Prakash actually means you can everything becomes manifest. Mm-hmm. You know, like a guy with, you know, a person born of ignorance, he can, you know, may not even be able to see straight. You know.
Oh man, you know, the room is spinning.
And person in mode of passion, he also can't see things. You know, he sees well, typically a beautiful girl, and it's like, wow. But you know, the person in the mode of goodness sees, okay, here's a girl, she's beautiful, she's a trap, she's, you know. Prakash
is all the same for me. It's a different mode.
Freeze bomb from simple reaction, like process or by time or the person in the mode of goodness.
Excuse me? By living in the mode of goodness, because you're not in the mode. No, it's that we. Where were you? Were you here?
Yeah.
Did we just discuss this about 5 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Or am I confused? You're nodding. Ah. Okay. Well, we just discussed this, so maybe should we do it again? Tulsi, tell him what the story is about pure goodness, about all sinful reactions, getting free from all sinful reactions. Or somebody tell him.
Tell him.
Hmm? No, tell him now. Let's see who got it.
Tulsi got it.
Tell
him. Tulsi. It's not all sinful reactions. It means when one is situated in the mode of goodness that he's basically, he don't make the four sinful activities, and that's why mostly he is free from sinful reaction. But still, something is there.
Okay, welcome back.
Sometimes in our preaching, we tell people they have to rise to the mode of pure goodness, so is it not right to tell them that? It's not real. Based on what you said.
Someone want to review what pure goodness is?
Which one over that too?
No, I know, but sometimes in our preaching we tell the people that you have to rise to the mode of pure goodness.
What is the mode of pure goodness?
when you consider the three modes of mature nature.
Yeah. Are we against that?
No, but you said that you can only get it in the spiritual world, so...
Someone want to run that one again? Where is pure goodness to be found?
Pure devotee. Pure devotional service.
You said it
in I know, but you said that it's only pure devotee, and you only get it in the material world, it's in the spiritual world.
No, but I think.
Want to deal with this, please?
The devotional service is transcendental.
You can practice devotional service within the material world and get free and come to be. Beyond the mode of material nature while in the material world. But you're not in the you're not out of the material world while in the material world.
Last chapter, he said if you can't do devotional service then get free from food. If you can't do that, at least be in the mode of goodness. So maybe, right?
Hmm?
We're talking about the 12th chapter.
No,
12th chapter, mode of goodness is not mentioned.
No,
he said in the preaching we should preach, you know, if you mean, at least rise to the mode of goodness.
In the mode of goodness, get to the mode of pure goodness. So if you cannot achieve that here, why should we talk about
it? Yeah, but it says in the last chapter, it said if you can't do devotional service, you know, then he's going down. And the last one was at least be in the mode of goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So that is.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Go back and take a look at the 12th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that's kind of at the bottom of the 12th chapter, of the 12th chapter alternatives?
Work without attachment to the results?
Yeah. Do something, but be detached. Give to charity, give to philanthropy. That's, you know, that may be in the direction of the mode of goodness, but it's not explicitly said you have to be in the mode of goodness. It's just said, you know, work without being attached. But as we'll see, that is a characteristic of goodness, so you're not so far off. Did you get your question answered? Can someone practice pure devotional service in the material world?
Well, from what is that, I cannot know, because it is not.
Can someone be a pure devotee and be in the material world?
Well, now I can say no, because this what is that?
Don't forget what you heard. Can someone be a pure devotee? Can pure devotees come to the material world?
Well, I would wonder, I would think so, yes.
Okay. What mode of nature are they in?
They have to be in a mode of pure goodness.
Okay. Can there be pure goodness in the material world?
No, I can see it. Yes, I can see it.
Good. You got it.
Has only to become free from ignorance and passion.
Mm-hmm.
Is that pure goodness?
Okay. Start again.
When one becomes free from passion and ignorance, is it then in pure goodness?
Yeah, if you're 100% free from passion and ignorance, then it's pure goodness. Otherwise, the mode of goodness is found in the material world, outside of devotional service, is goodness tinged with a little something. It's not pure goodness.
Goodness is actually not material.
Pure goodness is not material.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask, for example, Maharaj Bharata,
mm-hmm.
he said when he was giving this parangam,
mm-hmm.
when the king asked him to do this.
Dead Bharata at that time.
Dead Bharata. He said some negative waves passed through his mind,
mm-hmm.
of not satisfaction. But he was a pure devotee at that time.
Yeah.
So how this negative waves in his mind isn't...
How did we get here?
Because we were speaking, if one is in... What is pure goodness? That it's free from, completely from ignorance and passion.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, in a case of such kind of pure devotees, sometimes we see they may some not... not satisfaction can be in their mind for some time or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
How can we explain this?
It's all in connection with Krishna. Not because they're not getting sense gratification.
Mm-hmm.
They can get angry. Huh? You're getting angry. How can you be a transcendent? Yeah. Devotees get angry. Devotees get so many things.
And in his case, in the case of Jadabharata?
You know, you're asking about like some statement that's made in a verse someplace in the middle of a chapter that I haven't read in a long time, you know,
mm.
and you want my comment on it. Now if you bring me the book and I look at the chapter and look at this statement, I'll give you an answer. Today we're talking about 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, so when you bring in a, you know, a question, it doesn't exactly answer. You have a very particular question about some waves of something that he's, you know, you have to look at this and see what it is. Otherwise, it'd give me the general answer that the audience can feel all sorts of things. Okay? If you ask me any more, I'll get angry. Okay. Ready for some passion?
Yeah.
Yes. I told you you're going to get angry. Okay. Rajo ragatmakam vidhi Krishna sangasamudbhavam tan nibidhati kantiya karma sangena degna. in the mode of passion, there's mode of passion is born of raga, or it's made of raga, desire or lust. Or Prabhupada says, born of unlimited desires and longings. Samudvava. Krishna. Raja Ragatmika Vidhi Krishna Sangha Samudvava. It comes from association. Krishna. Krishna means hankering. Actually, Krishna means thirst. You know, thirst for money, thirst for sense gratification. So there's unlimited desires and longings. And because of this, karma sangina dehina, the living entity is bound to hard work. The mode of passion is characterized by the attraction between man and woman. Woman has attraction for man has attraction for woman. This is called the mode of passion. When the mode of passion is increased, one develops the hankering for material enjoyment. He wants to enjoy sense gratification. He wants some honor in society or in the nation, wants to have a happy family with nice children, wife and house. These are the products of the mode of passion. As long as one is hankering after these things, he has to work very hard in order to please his wife, children, and society and keep up his prestige. One has to work. Therefore, the whole modern material world is more or less in the mode of passion. Modern civilization is considered advanced in the standard of the mode of passion. Formerly, the advanced condition was considered to be in the mode of goodness. There's no liberation for those in goodness, but to speak of those entangled in the mode of passion. This is the standard now. Passion is admired. You know, a person's full of passion, in pursuit of excellence and economic development. A person is really a go-getter, he's really a go-getter. And he's admired, a person who can make a lot of money, a person who can get a lot of power, a person who can attract a lot of women. He's considered wow. But previously, the standard of advancement was those in goodness. Now it's those in passion. So passion binds one to hard work. Those who are brahmacharis, they don't have to work very much. As soon as your as householder life is there, tell us about it, shall we?
Thank you for the donation. Thank you for the donation.
So much work. We speak to some of our friends who are in householder life, and there's so much.
We only have one kid.
He's got only one kid. But there's work, and there's house, and there's doctor bills, and there's this, and there's that, and kids need new shoes, and this, and this, and this, and this. So insurance, and car for, wife needs a car, the husband needs a car, the kid needs a car, and everybody needs a car.
Mobile phones.
Computers. So many things. And it's expensive. And where is this money going to come from? It's going to come from Krishna. But it's going to come because you work for it. And with a lot of anxiety about making ends meet, and I wish that we had more, and that this is the best we can do for now, but if we scrimp and save, and we can get this and that.
The Joneses
do an extra job.
The Joneses have this and we don't. The
Joneses have this and we don't. How come, I have to wear this
you know, these pants which were my brother's pants, and now I have to wear them. And, you know. All this kind of stuff. So, this is the mode of passion. Mode of passion means so many desires. And what is that? Konsastriya Maitini Street means one who expands. So when we come into this relationship, man and woman, material desires increase and expand.
What does this
sound good? Well, street means one who expands. It means woman, but that's the etymological meaning.
I can give you an example.
I bet.
When I came to India, like probably around 1988, I had all my possessions in about a bag about this big. And I used to travel around India with a bucket. I stuff in a bucket because I need the bucket for carrying the stuff in, and then also washing my clothes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how many truckloads. I have a house, a truck, a tractor, a 2,000 square foot house full of furniture and this and that.
And it takes a lot of work.
It took a lot of work. And then you move someplace, and then things aren't right. You know, just leave it. All that work down the drain.
Yeah. So we'll deal with this more, the mode of passion. The basic principle is desire. You have passion. Passion means, you know, you want. So this is passion, process, unlimited desires and longings. Krishna means thirst. Raga, rajo ragatmikam vidhi, Krishna. Krishna sangha samudram. Any questions? Yes.
You said that actually the modes of nature are influencing the ego of the soul, right?
Not exactly influencing the ego. That's not exactly what I said. It's not exactly untrue, but it's not exactly what I said.
We said that the problem with the material nature is that the soul thinks that he is a part of the material nature, and he gets entangled with it.
Yeah, that is false ego. False ego is the meeting point between matter and spirit. It's the point at which the spiritual soul misidentifies with material energy.
Right.
From that comes our association with material nature and her modes.
But how does he get influenced?
Just like suppose. By being tied. Just like, how do you get influenced by some person?
You associate with him,
I suppose.
Yeah, but the spiritual is spiritual energy.
Yeah.
It's higher than the material energy.
Yeah, but if you turn away from it, just like my hand. My palm is now in the light.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. The light is still there, the palm is still there, but now the palm is in the dark. Why?
Can you change this way?
Yeah. Turn away.
So, it chooses to be.
Yeah.
And then everything comes and.
Some other question?
Comment Sridhananda Maharaj said that the root of the word rajas is ruj, which means to color.
Mm-hmm. Especially red.
Yeah.
Red is the characteristic color of passion. Yellow is goodness and blue is ignorance. Any other question? We've got the overview of passion. Ready for some ignorance?
Tamas tvagyanajam vidhi mohanam sarvadehinam pramada alasya nidrabhi tannibidnati parata. Prabhupada comments that the word "to" is significant. It means "but." So it means, you know, we've been talking about the two higher modes, but wow, now we're going down. Agyanajam. Agyanajam means?
Born of ignorance.
Born of ignorance. Lack of, absence of knowledge. Agyanajam. Mohanam sarvadehinam. It's the delusion of all embodied beings. Pramada alasya nidra bhi. It's characterized by pramada. Pramada means madness. And alasya, laziness. And nidra bhi, sleep. And in this way, the living entity is bound. He's bound to madness, indolence, and sleep. Indolence, laziness. What is Prabhupada saying? It's just the opposite of the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, one develops knowledge by which to understand what is what, but in ignorance, the opposite. Under the spell of ignorance, one becomes mad, and the madman can't understand what is what. Instead of becoming advanced, he becomes degraded. Classes are really different after lunch, aren't they?
It's laziness.
I don't know about these afternoon classes.
Supposed to get the sauce today.
Is a person who is mentally ill, is that called madness? A person who is mentally ill.
Oh yeah, that's madness.
That's madness.
Yeah, I mean, mentally ill is a kind of a there's a psychiatrist, Thomas Zaz, a Hungarian psychiatrist, who's familiar with his work, The Myth of Mental Illness. He's basically said, you know, this metaphor, because it's really metaphorical, it's not that there's like a particular, you know, organ that goes off and therefore, you know, you develop a fever or something. But when somebody is really out of line, we say that it's a disease, that he's mentally ill. Or, you know, sometimes it just means that he has ideas that we disagree with, so we lock him up. But it can mean, you know, the mind is deranged. Actually, it is considered an illness in Ayurveda. Vayu-vyadi, yeah. When the air in the body is really disturbed too much, then the mind is affected and goes mad. Therefore, the Ayurvedic treatment is in accordance with that understanding.
And is that due to karma? Is in that situation?
It's all due to karma. It's all due to karma. Karma means our past activities. So madness, you know, and you can see this. Like typically, like we started our movement in the Lower East Side in New York, where there's a high population of bums, and bums are really mad, you know. They, now these are people who are out in the street, you know, talking to themselves, and really drunk out of their minds, and you know, sometimes they're singing, and sometimes they're falling down in the gutter, and sometimes they're, oh yeah, we used to see these people. They they live on the streets, and they
dirty
and crazy. You know, they're mad, totally mad. You know, they're all bandaged up, and they're singing, and then they're crying, and then they're yelling, and then they're, you know, they're mad. They're mad. And they're, so intoxication, madness, illusion, you know, what they're thinking is. And lazy, you know, you can't get them to do anything. Drink. So these are some of the standard characteristics of madness, of ignorance. Prabhupada said, madly accumulating money and working very hard all the time, not caring for the eternal spirit soul. And lazy, too lazy to associate with anyone for spiritual advancement. They're not even active like the man controlled by passion. Sleeps more than required. You know, people who, you know, they're sleep, they like to sleep 8 hours, 9 hours. 10 hours. Just sleep and sleep and sleep. Yeah, no such people.
They're not suffering anything.
Yeah, that's part of it too. That there's, you know, when they're awake, they're suffering too much. So you know, better to go to sleep, because in sleep, you know, it's like the safest place. You know, it's the happiest place they know is when they're knocked out. Man and goodness, his happiness comes from enlightenment, from, you know, from knowledge. The mode of passion, happiness comes from sense gratification. And the mode of ignorance, happiness comes from blanking out. You know, blotting out the world. Either with alcohol or with drugs or, you know, just sleep or. Such a man appears always dejected and is addicted to intoxicants and sleeping. It's a mode of ignorance. Bad mode. It's the worst.
There are lots of ignorance in this world.
Oh.
It's not only passion, it's there's.
Oh, passion is the best. Passion is, when we're on our good days, it's passion.
It's normal. People drink, have intoxication, it's like a normal way of life.
Oh yeah, businessman, you know, before lunch he's knocked down 5 or 6 martinis. Oh yeah, intoxication is very standard. People consider it a privilege to be able to sleep 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours. I think this television is another kind of.
In your brain there's a creativity, some part of your brain, and television, you don't exercise that, because all you have to do is just, for your entertainment, you know, turn this thing on and just go.
Just passive, yeah.
And then you don't lose your creativity. It's not exercise.
Yeah, people used to read, you know, family would get together in the evening or read. Here in India especially, they used to get together and hear Mahabharata or Ramayana. But now it's, you know, you come home and I would walk sometimes in the evening in, you know, suburban neighborhoods in America, and these blue light is coming out of the window because everybody's people don't even talk to one another.
That's true.
You know, they're just
and watching.
Yeah.
And no, then everyone, on an average, every Indian spend about 7 to 8 hours from watching TV. Indian used to spend about 6 to 7 hours from watching TV.
Watching TV, 6 to 7 hours a day.
How can they? Where's the time?
He's Indian, ask him.
I know. In fact, my mother used to watch that in for 4, actually 5, 6 or 7 days.
Oh yeah. Now women, you know, they stay home and they just iron and watch television.
My mom wakes up at 8 or 9 and switches the TV on immediately before she goes to the bathroom and lights up a cigarette, and the TV is on non-stop until 11, 12 at night.
Yeah.
With the radio and cigars and the coffee.
Okay, well, since she's your mother, we're not going to say anything about that.
Mother Nature.
Mother Nature. Yes.
My brother, he was all the day outside playing with his friends, and now my parents, they bought him a computer.
Mm.
And now he's all the day just playing games.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of kids these days just games.
Instead of moving with his body, now he's moving on with his mind. And he's 20 kilos more now.
Yeah, that also. Yeah, people watch television and get fat. Anyway, these are the lower modes of nature, passion and especially ignorance. Ignorance has become hugely prominent. Intoxicants are like a way of life. So many.
And if someone is situated in the mode of goodness, that means he's not much influenced by sleep, feeling of sleep. You know?
No. Person in the mode of goodness doesn't like to sleep. He sleeps because intelligence needs sleep also. But it's not like this is what he does for pleasure. You know, like Prabhupada, he didn't. As long as you sleep, you waste your time. That was Prabhupada's. Yeah. And of course, even the person in the mode of passion feels, you know, that doesn't like to sleep because, you know, missing out on opportunities. You know, if he can't get sex, then he goes to sleep. But otherwise. But the person in the mode of ignorance, you know, sleep is like, that's. You know, that's it. That's like, wow, you know, I'm going to get home and go to sleep. And sleep and sleep and sleep. Sleeping is there. You know, here it's 6 hours a day, Prabhupada said, that's like enough for the person in the mode of goodness. Or, you know, get up early, take rest early, but, you know, take the minimum. For a person in the mode of ignorance, you know, sleep is like, that's luxury. That's what, you know, one of the best things in life is to be able to sleep as much as you want. They really want to sleep. Yes. No, yes.
1 hour extra of sleep every day makes 2 weeks in a year.
Interesting. 2 weeks solid, like 2 weeks of 24-hour days. Yeah. So anyway, one should sleep as much as necessary, but not that this is the goal of life, sleeping. But for the person in the mode of ignorance, sleeping is what it's about.
How can we understand what's our meaning of sleep that we need?
You can tell. See, you know, if you're falling asleep on your feet, then you know, take some more rest. Always sleeping. You get to know. Oh, I know. This much I can.
How can we destroy sleep?
Destroy it? You can't destroy it.
I mean, like, minimize.
Regulate your eating. If you eat more, you have to sleep more.
Let's see.
Could someone answer that for me? Find out who it is.
People who are so much in good life, they just don't need so much rest. That's Prabhupada.
Call it.
Thank you.
use that? Okay. Minimizing sleep. So the more we eat, the more we need to sleep. You know, the brahmacharis who are doing late night halaba, pizza, whatever it is, you know, mega feasts, probably have a hard time getting up for Mangal Arati. If you eat more, the more you eat, the more you have to sleep. Now, therefore, nidra hara vihara gadi vijitoka. The Goswamis minimize their sleeping and their eating. If you sleep less, you don't have to eat as much. But if you just cut down to the point where you're not eating, you're not sleeping, you become like, you know, one of these impossible walking skeletons or something. Unless you, you know, really have the spiritual stature. But, you know, if you eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, then you have to sleep and sleep and sleep. The two go quite well together, eating and sleeping. So minimizing our sleep, eating means sleeping also. You can, you know, you don't feel like you need to sleep as much. Regularity. You always take rest the same time, get up the same time, then you don't need so much. But if it's always one day this, one day that, you know, the body doesn't know whether it's coming or going. So then you wind up in the end sleeping more. If you take rest late, then you need to sleep more because you don't get the same quality of rest. So then you feel like you have to sleep more. If you are in Maya, you need to sleep more. You know, if you're feeling enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness, completely inspired by what you're doing, always, you know, then you don't want to sleep, you want to serve. But if you're kind of like unengaged, kind of depressed, kind of like, I don't know, you know, that's, you know, already ignorance is there, then you might as well sleep. But if you're engaged in exciting transcendental activities, the Goswamis, why weren't they sleeping? They were having such a good time, they didn't want to sleep. They were so enlivened by devotional service that they'd forget to sleep. So these are some of the things. Is that okay?
Devotional service, you said that, you know, the Goswamis didn't want to sleep. So does it mean, you know, more things that make you go to the mode of goodness?
Mm-hmm.
If you do devotional service, does it make you arise to the mode of goodness?
No, it puts you above the mode of goodness.
Yeah. So do you get the qualities of...
Yeah, you get that and more. It's goodness plus.
Yeah.
Something else? Okay, so we've got little snapshots of the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. We're going to hear more about them, but that was like a little capsule summary at the beginning of the chapter of each of the three modes. Rajasra tamascha vibhuya sattvam bhavati parita. Rajasattvam tamascha tamasattvam rajastata. Really cool in Sanskrit. Rajas tamas cha vibhuya sattvam bhavati parita. Rajas sattvam tamas chaiva tamas sattvam rajastata. This is competition among the modes of nature. Sometimes goodness becomes prominent, defeating passion and ignorance. Sometimes passion defeats goodness and ignorance. Sometimes ignorance defeats goodness and passion. So they're competing. Can I have something to drink? There's water, there's some... If you look on the desk in the back.
Oh, here.
Look on the desk in the back.
This Maharaj?
Yeah. You didn't do verse 9, Maharaj.
I didn't do verse 9. Okay, let's come back to it. Oh, okay, right. Oh, we don't need that. We'll skip it. We'll just chuck it. Okay, let's go back and do verse 9. We got the snapshots of the modes of goodness, the modes of nature. Now we're getting what they bind you to. Sattvam sukhe sanjayati. Raja karmani bharatam. Jnanam avrityatutamaha. Pramade sanjayachuta. The goodness binds one to happiness. Passion binds one to work. And ignorance, covering one's knowledge, binds one to craziness, madness. Person in goodness is satisfied by his work, or intellectual pursuit, like a philosopher, scientist, educator. Man in passion, engaged in fruitive activity, owns as much as he can, spends for good causes. Sometimes he tries to open hospitals, give charity to institutions. These are the signs of one in the mode of passion, not goodness, notice. You know, we find people are in the mode of passion. They want to enjoy, they want to have, they want to acquire, and they want to give and get a good name for being charitable. Mm-hmm.
There's also, it's mentioned that this sloka, you fall down from the Brahma Jyoti and then you engage in philanthropic work.
Well, that's not exactly pulling down from the Brahma Jyoti, but Prabhupada uses that as an example. Someone's talking about, you know, everything is one and Brahma Satya, Jagannitya, the world is false. Then he goes and opens a hospital.
Yeah.
So it's a fall down from, you know, hey, I thought everything was one. What do you open up the hospital for? That's Prabhupada's point. Mm. Yep.
In the mode of goodness, person gives for Krishna consciousness, or he doesn't.
Yeah.
And this person is giving charity to some poor people.
We'll find out about charity in the three modes as we go along. So we'll save that. Okay.
Can you explain the first thing? How we are binding? From happiness,
yeah. Someone want to talk about that, since we talked about it at the beginning of the class? How?
Means that you want to feel.
How goodness binds one to happiness? Who was awake at the time?
Clean, healthy life, I feel so good, I have knowledge, I have compassion for all these, you know.
You remember?
You are conditioned to be in this situation. You just want to.
Yeah. You know, you have a nice little ashram somewhere in the, you know, with little birds that chirp and little crickets that go crickets. And you've got your cow and. You know, you've got your simple routine of healthy life, and you don't have much disease because you know, you don't do anything that's like criminal to your body. don't live in a passionate way, you get up early, you take rest early, you read books of philosophy and science and poetry, and you're a vegetarian, feel good about yourself. You feel good about yourself because you know that you're in harmony with nature and you're not harming the environment. And you really feel good. The result is that you want to keep feeling good birth after birth after birth. Life is nice to live in the country in simple surroundings. Minimum of needs, just, a life of peace and contentment. So nice. The world is a beautiful place. That's the problem. Starts to think, but life is good.
Heavenly planets?
Heavenly planets, yeah, there also.
The heavenly planets
are Heavenly planets are in a different space altogether. There's passion there too. We read about it. But generally, they're purer places. Shall we move on? So we're reading about these mixing modes. They're mixing. It's not that there's one is purely in goodness or purely in passion or purely in ignorance. But they're mixing up like colors. If you have different colors, then they mix in different proportions. Anyone who's worked with a color wheel or color mixing, you take three colors and you increase one, and it goes from green to being yellow. It goes from yellow to being purple. It goes, according to how much you add of just three colors. Printing. Well, printing has four colors. It has black, most color printing. But as far as actual colors aside from black, it's three. From those three colors, you get everything. And you get full, all of these. Well, we don't have any photographs. Yeah, like that. I don't know how they do photographs these days. I don't know the technology. But a printed book, like this. There's only three colors. Plus black.
The monitor works with all sorts of colors.
Yeah, there you go. Television monitors, computer monitors. But the beginning is printing. So, and this is not a particularly colorful picture. But any color picture that you pick, offset printing. Three colors. But you get all those different colors in three. Just how much you put of each one. So the modes of nature are like that. They're in different proportions, sometimes more goodness, sometimes more passion, sometimes more ignorance. They do these colors in percentages. Color is represented as 10% this, 20% this, and 30% that. Or 40% this, 10% this, and 80% that. In printing, it's yellow, magenta, and cyan, three colors. But anyway, yellow, red, and blue, basically. So these.
Not yellow, green.
No.
Green is a mixture.
Green's a mixture.
Blue and yellow.
It's blue, yellow, and red, basically.
The prime colors.
The
prime colors are called.
Primary colors, right. And according to how much you put of, you mix them and you get all your purples and greens and everything. So whatever you see, you know, you mix these three modes of nature, and you've got lots of opportunities, because, you know, more percentage, you know, how many colors do you get? So many colors they get of mode combinations. And it's not always the same. Sometimes someone's being more influenced by this, sometimes more influenced by that. Although there are these three modes of material nature, if one is determined, he can be blessed by the mode of goodness, and by transcending the mode of goodness, he can be situated in pure goodness, which is called the Vasudeva state, a state in which one can understand the science of God. Clear? Is it? Not getting a lot of feedback this afternoon.
Mode ignorance.
Mode ignorance. Well, how was lunch today?
Good.
Good, huh? I also ran out of energy in the afternoon. If I weren't sitting here talking, I would be probably pretty tired too.
Is it possible that this mixing of the three modes comes to the variety of 8,400,000?
Prabhupada says that.
Oh, I can understand.
These 8,400,000 species of life come basically from mixing three modes and different combinations.
Yeah,
we published an article in Back to Godhead one time about the three modes of nature. Do you remember that? Ishaka did that. It's very good. It illustrated it very well. Anyway.
Was it the puppet? The strings?
Yeah, I think maybe that was... that was maybe the cover, and then inside there was,
yeah,
as well as well done.
I'm never doing something.
Shall we continue? Shall we? I do have an alternative. I can release you a little early in the evenings. You know, we can do less than an hour and a half. We could do like an hour and 15 minutes. Does that seem like, would you gentlemen be happier with that?
I don't think it's...
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's better to do another 15.
Yeah. Just go whole hog.
That's right.
Huh?
I have heated air in here.
Yeah, but...
More light?
We need some good warm air.
Warm air.
Which we haven't had for a month and a half. Yeah, fresh.
The lunch class is outside, so we are fresh. And
what's that? Yeah, that's true. We're outside.
We're outside. And this,
but unfortunately, I'm one of those people who can't stand the cold. Mm. I know you're from Europe. Europe is that crazy place where people, you know, open their windows to get lots of fresh air in the winter. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's why I avoid Europe in the winter.
For 5 minutes, change air.
Well, that's a good idea. Open the windows for 5 minutes, and I'll come back in 15 minutes.
Make a break. About 5 minutes, correctly. Mm-hmm. 1.5 hours.
Tell you what, we'll take a 1 minute stand up and walk around break at least. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
Or stand up and just be in your place. And no? Not into it. Too much exercise.
Yeah.
We've already ruled out opening the windows. I'm not going to do it. Oh, I hate the stuff. All right, go ahead, open the window. No, what window? What window do you open? There's a door. You have to open the whole door.
Maybe it's a good proposal to be a little shorter, the class.
Yeah,
yes.
I think so too. You're taking the pulse of the multitudes here. I think you're...
Better to be condensed and to do some more than...
That turns it off.
Yeah.
Papa? Look, call back in about half an hour, okay? I'm in a class right now.
Call back in half an hour.
Yeah, it's, sometimes you know when you're fighting against the current. I think we're a little not so energetic in the evening. I'm not as energetic in the evening. So I'm going to try to, anyway, today we'll cut a little short. We'll probably on the other days have that larger room with its big ceilings and more space. Yeah. And that'll be a little more facilitatious for us.
Yes.
But today, since we're kind of like cooped up here, we can end a little early. It's just ending 15 minutes early. That gives you a little time to stretch out or do whatever you want before the evening RT goes for going. Okay, and we're doing well on our schedule, so we can afford it. Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare What have we here?
More sleep.
More sleep. Jagannath Prasad.